This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This has been straight up a hardcore economic news week. The Fed, a White House budget, both of which speak to what the economic future holds for us. The immediate, 5 minutes future holds Neela Richardson. She's at Redfin. Cardiff Garcia is at the blog FT Alphaville. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Kai. Hey, Kai.
So Neela, Janet Yellen and the Fed raised interest rates this week for just the third time in 10 years. She came out and did a press conference. Chair Yellen did. Said soothing and appropriate things, right? Anything of note to you?
Yes. I mean, she said that the economy looked pretty good from her point of view. But her point of view is kind of in contrast to the promises that are made by the president, which is an economy that grows at 3 to 4%. So how do we match the Fed perspective of an economy that's growing at about 2% and will probably chug along for another year or so with the promise of 3 to 4% growth in a rising interest rate environment? Well, I think that's the key question.
That's exactly right. Because Cardiff, if we are to believe what the Fed chair says, and there's no reason not to, the Fed's going to raise a couple of three times this year, a couple of three times next year. And in 2 years, interest rates are at 3% or more.
Yeah, I got to say, Janet Yellen seemed like she was feeling pretty good, you know, and not without reason. I mean, inflation has gradually ticked up back towards the Fed's target, while we've had a couple of straight reports of decent jobs growth in the U.S. So I think that if, in fact, we get the kind of rate rises that the Fed is predicting, it'll turn out to have been good news. But, and there's always a but, she once again reiterated the phrase data dependent. So if things change, if things change, then so will the interest rate hikes. And there's something notable about the way that you phrased the economy at the start of the segment, Kai. One economy, two people in charge. If things start to go south, each of those people is going to blame the other guy.
Well, that's exactly right, Neela. That's what you were talking about, because they're sort of pushing or pulling in opposite directions, right? I mean, they both obviously want growth, but Chair Yellen wants it to be controlled at her pace. And the president has promised 4%, which is like double anything we've seen in since the crisis.
Right. And so there is a bit of a tension there. And the key thing that could go wrong, Kai, ironically, is that the economy could get much better before it gets much worse.
Explain that a little bit.
The fact is that this low growth scenario that we've been in for the last, over five, six, 7 years is actually reaching an expiration date. Meanwhile, we've seen record highs in the stock market. We see consumer confidence at an all-time high, and interest rates are rising. So the question is, how close are we to a recession, to a natural downturn in the market? And can Trump's policy shift that finish line further and speed it up in terms of higher economic growth? I don't see that happening with the current budget in the current interest rate environment either.
Well, so Cardiff, let's talk about that budget, because yes, it's a skinny budget. It's only plans and proposals, and there's lots that wasn't in there. But that budget is not going to do nice things to the debt and the deficit, and Congress is going to have to deal with that.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think the best description I've seen of the budget so far has been that it was something like performance art, because clearly Congress isn't going to pass a budget like this. It was meant to send a signal about Donald Trump's priorities. And what struck me most of all, Kai, was how much it went against a lot of Donald Trump's own rhetoric in the campaign. Yeah. Because say whatever you will about the way he campaigned, he didn't run on a program of smaller or limited government. If anything, it was a campaign that emphasized that government had turned away from the people whose votes he wanted, namely the elderly, namely people with lower income. And this budget doesn't do that, and it also doesn't deliver on his infrastructure pledges. It actually cuts infrastructure in various places. So it was peculiar from that standpoint, but not necessarily a surprise from Donald Trump, who often likes to open with a kind of strange, aggressive bid, and then he ends up pulling it in a little bit later. It's a deal-making scenario.
Yeah. Neela, let me make a quick turn here in the minute or so we have left and ask you about the health care plan, and specifically the tax cuts included in that plan that go to the wealthy, and what that will do to the economy, as Cardiff was saying, lower income and elderly people wind up paying more for their health insurance should this bill pass, which, as we all know, is very much still up in the air.
You know, the way we structure tax reform will decide how the economy chugs along. Tax cuts to the wealthy is one of those pro-growth policies that you see in the Affordable Care Act plan and also in the corporate tax plan that's been footed around. But the question is, who needs the subsidy the most? Who needs the tax cut the most? And right now, we're seeing a plan, a blueprint, where spending cuts are being borne out by the poor and the low income. Right. And also that the health care plan is not really benefiting, again, that population. So a key question remains of how do you create productivity where more workers are creating more output in a scenario that is fair and equitable? I don't think we've reached that consensus yet. And there's still some conflict within the Republican Party about how to get there.
Just a little bit within the Republican Party. Neela Richardson is at Redfin and Cardiff Garcia is at the blog FT Alphaville. On a Friday afternoon, you guys have a nice weekend. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.